I'm somebody who likes to plan things out and and know what's going to happen next. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. I mean, the plan was quit job, hike trail, giant question mark. Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the great outdoors. Today is the show's second birthday, and we wanted to celebrate by looking back at some of our favorite moments from stories we've aired the past 2 years. We'll also give you a sneak peek at a few stories that are coming up. Also, a quick heads up for all of our listeners in or near Laramie, Wyoming. You are invited to a birthday party for Out There. It's tonight at Coal Creek Tap from 5 to 8 p.m. Hope to see you there. Okay, on to the stories.
Mom, how many orthopedic surgeries would you guess I've had at this point?
Oh, counting the hand and everything? I would say that you've had 4.
I've had 8.
8? Oh my God, you poor bastard. Oh, I'm sorry. You poor thing. That's terrible. You're not even 40.
I'm not even 30.
Oh God, you're not even 30. And I'm your mother. I suck. Okay.
I've just really enjoyed that feeling of, oh my God, I'm going to die, and then pulling off a move you didn't think you could do, and just the relief that you lived through it. It was a sheer terror that I try to recreate every single time I'm on the bicycle now.
One day, one of my work friends casually asked me if I like girls, kind of in the same way that you'd ask a person if they like Guinness or Star Trek. It was the first time anybody had ever asked me if I was queer, and it seemed so blasé. Answering honestly just seemed like no big deal. So I said, yeah. He said, cool. It was like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders.
The thought that I was giving up my career to do this was, well, my mom was very, very happy when I made the Olympic team, but she was never very happy about it until I did. So the whole road there was not really anything that she respected until she saw that end result.
She tried to talk you out of it?
I don't think she ever sat me down and said, don't do this, but she also said, so when are you gonna get a job? When are you gonna move your career on?
You're in this moment where you cannot think about anything else. You have this extreme focus. You're in a situation where you can't just be like, oh, did I remember to put the laundry in the dryer? But, you know, like if your mind goes for a second, you're in a situation where you probably fall and break both ankles. Or so it's this weird sort of like almost relaxation, I guess, or like therapy for me. And I had not felt that since I hadn't had this mental relaxation where my brain stopped and only focused on one thing since I was like drinking, you know, where I was like, oh, okay, I'm checking out for the day.
That moment stood out to me as being very much a moment where I kind of made peace with things, where I was like, okay, it's never going to be okay. It's never going to be okay that you lose a parent. But it's a little bit more okay. Sorry.
I don't know, somebody told me once that losing someone, like when you first lose someone, it's like you're carrying a boulder around all the time and you have this like huge heavy thing that is weighing you down and there's nothing else you could focus on because you just, you're carrying a boulder around. That's really heavy.
Absorbing a lot of your concentration.
And then as time goes on, like eventually it becomes a little bit less heavy and you, you know, now then you're just like carrying around a brick all the time and then, or a cinder block or something. And then eventually once you're able to make peace with things, it's more just like a little smooth pebble in your pocket. And I think that's what this, I think that's what this trail did for me is that it's still there. The grief is still there. But instead of it weighing me down all the time, I can remember the wonderful things about my mom without always being sad about not having her. So, because this is a birthday episode, I don't want to end on a sad note. So I thought I'd play you one of my favorite pieces of audio ever. It's from a story about a 70-mile mountain bike race called the Enduro. I was getting some advice from a friend who'd done the race many times before, and his toddler was around for the conversation, so we asked for her input.
Can you tell Willow what you think about the Enduro?
So those are some of my favorite moments from the stories we've had over the past 2 years. In case you missed any of them, I'll have links to each of those episodes on our website, which is outthereshow.com. And we'd like to know your favorite episodes too, so we've set up a call-in line. Give us a ring at 800-599-2598. Tell us about an episode that really resonated with you and why. And if it brought to mind an experience you had, tell us your story. It might even end up on the show down the road. Again, that number is 800-599-2598. We've got it listed on our website as well, in case you can't write it down right now. I also wanted to share a few snippets from upcoming stories. Next week, we're going to travel to Tanzania to visit one of the most egalitarian societies on the planet. It's a society where everyone is equal. No haves and have-nots, no class system, no gender hierarchies. A journalist from Brooklyn named Katrin Redfern spent a week with this tribe, trying to suss out what it takes for a society to be truly equal, and what that means for her own culture.
Could I really live like the Hadza? Could I function in a society with no books, no media, no electricity, no Western medicine, no sushi? And wouldn't I miss flitting between different perspectives on the world? I couldn't live here for long without wanting all those things back. But the sense of being considered equal, regardless of what I did, not needing to succeed at anything specific to matter, it being enough just to be, would give me a sense of belonging I don't think my culture knows.
Next, we travel to a beach in Mexico, a beach that seemed like any other, with sand and waves and tourists lounging in the sun. But one particular day, something happened on this beach that called into question the boundaries between science and religion.
I was walking along the beach, and I said, I think I'll talk to David. Hey, David, are you around? Something like that. Just, I was being devilish. And I heard a voice inside my head saying, yeah.
David was a friend, but he was dead. He'd passed away a year earlier.
A typical academic psychologist, clinical, would say you missed your best friend and you made it all up. And that's what people do when their relatives die. They talk to their mothers and it soothes them. Lots of people talk to their dogs. So it's wish fulfillment. It's easily explained away by an academic psychologist, right?
Well, maybe. Or maybe there's more to it than that. Something that can't quite be explained by science. Stay tuned for those stories and much, much more. Before you go, like I said, Out There is 2 years old today, and in honor of the show's birthday, we're offering a 25% discount on Out There t-shirts and hoodies. Just go to our website, outthereshow.com, click on merch, and at checkout, enter the promo code BIRTHDAY. The offer is valid today only, so don't put it off. And finally, as I mentioned, we're having a birthday party for Out There at Coal Creek Tap in Laramie, Wyoming. That's tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. They're doing happy hour prices on all their beers for us, so grab a friend, stop by, and enjoy a local brew. This episode was produced by me, Willow Belden. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold, and our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.